I'm off my game today.
No, you're not.
That's true.
People are going to have to start making better content.
I think we're going to be talking about this for a long time.
When you program for everyone, you program for no one.
I think it's that we're a purpose-driven platform. Like, we're trying to get to substance. How okay. was that? Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
This is marketing therapy right now.
It really is. Yeah.
What's up? I'm Laura Carenti.
And I'm Alexa Kristen. Welcome back to Adlandia.
The only thing separating me from the Jersey Shore right now
is this.
And it's the only thing I would have came to Brooklyn for. We have Cody Levine and Mike Tong coming into the studio, two ex-agency young guns who have broken out to turn their passion into purpose, their side hustle into the main hustle. And I think they have a thing or two that they can really teach the agency about where we're missing the mark on creativity.
Agency, brands, I think leadership.
Yeah.
Seriously, these guys have amazing one-liners. So
with that, we'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Cody Levine.
Hi there.
Hi, co-founder of toothpaste brand Twice.
That's me.
And the total Brooklyn artiste, Mike Tong, is in the building. Mike Tong is marketing manager over at the Brooklyn Museum and also the founder of the Culture LP.
Hello, hello. What's up?
Both of you ex-agency people that Alexa and I have had the fortunate opportunity to have worked with in some capacity in our careers. And as young guns, if I may say this, under the age of 30.
How old are you? Just call it out.
I just turned 27.
Bah.
28.
What?
Yeah. And something happened for the both of you where you decided in the not too distant past that you were going to take your passions and turn them into your everyday work. Tong, talk about what that was like for you, kind of stepping away from the traditional agency world where you had been somebody who's hot in the art scene out in Brooklyn, and talk about your kind of diversion back into that via the Brooklyn Museum.
Yeah, I mean, it's been gradual the whole time. The two worlds have been colliding. They collide in the work too, right? You see it in the agency space. Like, let's do this art activation. Let's do this sort of street art kind of integration or whatever it may have you. But for me, I had never stopped doing the cultural work. It was always a 5 to 9 thing, but it just got to the point where 5 to 9 a.m. the next day.
to clarify.
to clarify. But it just got to the point where it just made too much sense. And on a personal tip, you know, my father was an artist, and it just was like, this is when I have to go full go and really lean in on, you know, the culture, right? And it's something that I think institutions like the Brooklyn Museum and other cultural institutions need, right? Their new funding sources and things of that nature are these tech companies and these media platforms, and everybody wants to show up cross screen and things of that nature, but they can't do it without actually understanding how these companies work. So it was kind of a perfect fit for me. They brought their agency services in house. So it was just, you know, kind of made sense. Yeah.
It was so funny because I was talking to a group of CMOs and I said, are you actually looking at your teams instead of, and we've talked about this on the show, like, right. Are you looking at your teams instead of resources actually as talent? And I used you as an example. I was like, because if I need someone to think with me, really think with me and think about how people are going to show up, how they're going to interact, and not showing up as a brand that's tone deaf.
Right.
You need people like Tong and Cody.
Yeah, and coincidentally, both of you have been inspired by your dads. Cody, your father is a well-known dentist in New York City, and he inspired you and your brother to walk away from your 9-to-5s and chase down the opportunity to build your own DTC brand. Can you talk about Twice?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, it was interesting. I always knew I wanted to start my own brand, but I didn't know what exactly it would be. And through some work we had been doing as a family, dad being a dentist, mom and dad building brands together in the space of oral care, they started a nonprofit which was really set up to provide full service dentistry to underserved communities. And what happened was I go down with my brother and a group of dentists. We team up with a patient of my dad's who's Lenny Kravitz, and
you know,
we end up in
he has
Luthra.
A beautiful mouth.
He's got a great smile.
A beautiful mouth.
Yeah, smile's important for him. And we go down there where he spends, you know, most of the year recording his music, and he calls it home. And we set up a full service shop, and we treated everyone from cleanings and whitenings to full extractions and reconstruction. And I think right then and there, in that moment, my brother and I, we saw what the power of a smile was. And it opened my eyes and it gave me purpose to what I ultimately want to do, which is start a brand, but one that has purpose behind it and meaning and true depth and could give back. So we, you know, after formulating over a year, 2 years, we go back down to Eleuthera and we decide to each other, we say, let's do something about this. We got to do more. I don't think I can go back to my day job. I can't go back to the desk. Let's go build. So we looked at the oral care space and we ultimately ended up with Twice, which I could tell you a lot more about, but it's a direct consumer brand in oral care. We're starting with toothpaste. We want to make the products that you use every single day, twice a day, to be as beautiful as a smile is. So, you know, it's something that I took the jump on back in September to leave my job and say, no, this is what I'm going to do. And I talked to a ton of friends that are entrepreneurs, and they said, you know, well, before I did it, I had milestones I wanted to hit, things I wanted to accomplish. For me, it was I was still, you know, I was working and proud of work I was doing, but ultimately knew if I really wanted to do this, I had to dedicate everything. Mm-hmm. And it was an incredible moment in time when I did that.
Was it scary?
In a bit, yeah, it was scary, but the adrenaline was just beyond. I quit on a Wednesday, and on a Wednesday night, I actually was on a flight to go pitch the brand to a potential partner and a co-founder of ours. So the rush was everything. Nervous, sure. Every day, your nervous energy, you turn into excitement, I think.
There's a whole thing going on in the marketplace, which I know both of you know well, having worked with you, that your generation, our generation, the millennial generation, is one that is compelled to associate or align themselves with brands that identify with purpose. I would say respectively, both of the places you work for, with, or building, resonate with that. Can you talk about, both as consumers and as entrepreneurs in your own right, what purpose means to you and how you see the intersection of those things translating from how you think about brands versus how you're creating them?
Yeah, I think I've always thought that people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. Mm-hmm. And behind every product, you need to help consumers understand, you know, how you relate to them on a personal level. And I think today more than ever, consumers are, I don't want to say they're skeptical, but, you know, me and my friends, they need to know more. They need to see more. The world of transparency. A brand like RX Bar completely shaking it up by saying, like, there's two eggs, an almond, and a date in
here. No bullshit.
Yeah, no BS. And yeah. I think in the world of brands that have social at the core or are driven by purpose, that's part of their DNA, and it's no longer just like a tack on. And you have to prove that day in and day out, and people have to really feel it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's interesting because the idea of culture is, like, super lucid, right? Like, it's everything that we do. So I ended up building a business model kind of around just my lifestyle. I would like to go to art shows. I liked supporting my friends. They needed help with MailChimp and social media and shit like that. And it just ended up turning into a service offering, which is, like, looking back at it now, I can't go to an art show and not think about work. So it's kind of, it's something I was tweeting about last night is like this blurred line between the two. But the idea of purpose is just something that's been at the core of, on both sides, right? The museum is a place that, you know, likes to think about the community and put the community first, whether it's through free events or just bringing in different speakers to talk about things, whether it's the election, whether it's, you know, immigration rights, things of that nature. So to be able to work at a space like that is super refreshing and rewarding. And then for me, purposefully, I like to stay in Brooklyn. I like Brooklyn.
We didn't get into Culture LP. We didn't get into the side hustle, main hustle.
Yeah, so the Culture LP started as a blog about maybe 6 years ago. I was still in school. I really had some friends, like, kind of similar to what we're talking about, this age of transparency. But I feel like Twitter was a place where people were just talking a lot of shit, having fun, getting attention for being funny, not really, like, anything of substance at that point. I feel like I was one of them. And I was like, well, I have some friends doing some really creative things. I want to highlight them. I grabbed an SLR from, you know, the Bucknell Library, and I videotaped a couple of my friends who had done some poetry on, you know, microaggressions and things that we were going through at Bucknell University, just being really white space in the middle of Pennsylvania. We're all kids from different cities, Boston, D.C., New York. And I kind of just let them freestyle and, you know, did a spoken word video, put it on Vimeo. I was like, this is cool. made some t-shirts. I was like, this is cool. You know, like, just kept going with that. You know, fast forward, I now work closely with a few visual artists who've done, you know, street murals for City Bike in South Africa. Patrick Eugene just did a live art installation up in Massachusetts at the Mead Museum. These are all folks, you know, Ronald Draper just got awarded Urban Public League, you know, NAACP. He's the curator at Harlem Hospital. And these are guys that, like, we rented his first studio in Harlem for $800 to do a show, and we had like 70 RSVPs. Now we put out a show, we had like 500 RSVPs in the first 4 days at a closing link, you know. And it's like, but by just believing in these creators and being a partner to them, someone who understands like marketing frameworks and how brands think, we're able to, you know, secure sponsorship with Essential Water or, you know, any other partners that we've worked with. Pat did a commission for Nike, like things of that nature. But the two worlds are just so parallel. Brooklyn Museum is dying to play in that space, so it's really interesting.
Well, I want to talk about that, but I want to first say the other day we were having lunch, and you said to me, and it was so simple, you were like, you know that friend that you had, or maybe you were this person, mm-hmm. that you would call and say, what's going on this weekend?
Oh, yeah, the hotline. Yeah, I haven't talked about that.
Right?
Much. Yeah.
So the other thing, because you have like a million things, is this new service that you put mm-hmm. together. And I thought it was so smart because everyone has that friend, or you're that friend, which sometimes becomes a burden.
I think all of us in this room are that friend.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like there was a tipping point where somebody had texted me, asked me, you know, hey, I have some, my family's in town, what's going on? Is there an art show I should take them to? Is there a museum opening? And this is before I started working in a museum, probably before I started working in any agency role. And I was like, fuck, I can't keep doing this every weekend, every day. Somebody's asking me this question. And Ryan Leslie has a service called Superphone that's really made for musicians to like directly connect with their consumers, you know, off of social media. You can track Shopify integrations and who's spending the most money, what zip codes are supporting you. So we were using that right now, just texting people on two to three times a week, telling them art, food, music related events that are happening locally in New York. It's great for us because for the past 5 years, we've been building these cultural experiences with people who, you know, are poets, are our event producers. So they're sending us events, we're finding events in the wild, but using that filter to disseminate through Slack and you know, groupthink what we should send out. And it's been an interesting test run. I'm definitely excited to see where we take it over the next few months, especially with the summer coming up.
And it's called, what are you calling it?
The Culture Hotline.
How do you sign up?
culturehotline.co, or yeah, you can text, I'll get a number.
All right.
Yeah, I love it.
You know, it's interesting, both of you watching your socials, other than it making me completely exhausted.
I feel like a grandma. Wait, you just said watching your socials. We're watching your socials.
Watching,
I saw his socials
internet
this weekend. It was crazy.
That's not how any of this works.
I thought I was busy. So both of you obviously have super magnetic personalities. You're building these insane communities in your respective circles. How do you go out and seek the people that you're adding to your circles? And then how can brands infiltrate that? What is the value exchange that your circles are looking for?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, when you're on the agency side and you're building other brands, you can go out and talk about it and you're proud of it, and you see the work that you put out. But when it's your brand, it's your DNA, it's your life, your blood, sweat, and tears. You know, I'm out there and I'm just naturally talking about what I'm doing. And you know, when I can speak to a friend or someone I just met and their eyes light up and they say, wow, this is really interesting, like, how can I help? I think when it comes from a real place of authenticity and genuine, like, I think they can see the passion behind the entrepreneur and they say, wow, like, this could be really cool. How can I help? I was out in LA and I was with a friend who has an ice cream popsicle company, and he was doing a pop-up in Outdoor Voices. They were doing a running club.
That's smart.
And the runners come in, and we're handing out popsicles, and I'm just there kind of hanging out. And I start talking to a guy, and he's got a branding agency, and he loved everything we're doing. He goes, I got to connect you to this guy and this guy and this person and this woman. And next thing I know, I'm in L.A. for 3 days, and I'm meeting a ton of people that I had never known. I never even known existed. But by the fact of you know, having conversation and not being nervous or scared to talk about what you're doing, it opened up all these doors that my community is slowly building and building and building. I don't know what it's going to look like in 6 months or a year, but I know that if I keep surrounding myself with the right people who believe in the mission and can see, like, hey, this, you know, what is being built here is a little different, or I know someone who can help. I think if we all just rally around that idea of helping each other but being a part of something that a lot of shared value, I think the community, it just becomes incredibly powerful.
So you're talking about people who are helping you build your business, but do you think everything you just said actually goes over to consumers and how you're going to interact with customers of Twice?
Yeah, I think so. And maybe I'm a naive entrepreneur, but I think when you can build a brand that stands for something bigger than the product you make, they can see it. And I think, you know, you can talk to 10 people and if only 5 of them believe in you, that's great. Go with the 5.
Quality over quantity.
Yeah, and leave the other 5
It's
behind.
Interesting. We had the founder of Away Suitcases on a couple episodes ago, and we were talking about founders living the brand out loud. And I think you just gave the
you
definition
just, like,
of
totally
what that
nodded
means.
To it, yeah.
Tom, usually how? Wearing a Twice hat, but
I know you should have brought
hat,
them for us.
Can I just say you have a fucking Twice? What are these things?
Pop socket. Oh,
socket.
I didn't know what they were called.
I know. Amazing. I can't believe you didn't bring us any merch.
Thinking about community for me was like the first event that we did that was formal was literally called Connect the Dots, and I was like, I realized like people that are musicians and people that are like trying to do events for nonprofit, they need something. Like there's something missing, right? So I literally invited people that were not I myself and my co-founders. We invited people that were working in either starting nonprofits or did like PR marketing or were musicians because they always needed performers. They always needed promotion. It's very interesting. It's a small brunch, maybe like 40 people. And at that brunch were some people that I still keep in touch with that are movers and shakers. But that was one of our first organized events. And that essence of like-minded individuals of like this idea of community, something you can't replicate. You can't go to an agency, can't go to a brand partner and say, like, hey, we want to do this event and we need like people that fuck with each other to be there. So being able to over time, you know, put people in the same room that can have similar issues but have solutions and have different perspectives on those problems is something that you can't really quantify. And that's, I think, what's been difficult and why I've kept it as a, let's say, a 5 to 9 for so long is just it takes a while to show and prove what that value is. But now with the idea of like micro influencers, people are seeing that. Those are the folks, these people in Brooklyn and New York and Uptown and Washington Heights and the Bronx, these pockets of community that have been around forever, but now with social media, you're able to have a voice and a platform. It's given a whole new value to like these underground communities.
What you just said, Tong, and something Alexa and I have brainstormed about for a very long time in terms of building community is you can't go and buy it overnight. It's something that takes
earned.
A long
it's
time
earned.
To build.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why Red Bull's been so successful, yeah. right? They get in at the grassroots and they
but
build
they
these
built
communities
it.
And they fund yeah. these communities and they stick with them.
They stick with them.
What, stick with them. What should brands be doing for your very cool, hip, like culture-driven communities that you would find to be a tangible value exchange?
I mean, really, they need to, like, get out of the office, right? Like I felt like a lot of times we're ideating and we're on whiteboards and we're doing things and it's like, yo, go talk to the people you want to talk to. There's so many people that are already doing these things. You need influencers to help you aggregate influence, right? If it's like, hey, I want to talk to black women about hair. I can give you 5 communities that have blogs and Instagrams with double-digit 1,000 followers, that, and the women that run them probably work in corporate America. Like it's not this thing that's so far removed. You can sit down and have a conversation with people who are moving and shaking these communities. I think we've treated like it's this far-fetched thing, you know. And I think just going out and touching people is something that it's hard to do when you have that kind of corporate structure role or that brand role.
I met this woman named Sam. Hi, Sam. Shout out. I told you I'd shout you out at the IAB. Say hi, Cody.
Hi, Sam.
At the IAB Women Visionary Summit, she came up to me and she was like, I love the show. It means a lot. She started talking about, like, just how do you break? Because she's like, I'm not leaving, right, this world. I love this world. I love the advertising, marketing, media world. I'm not going to leave it. But, like, how do you start breaking through with some of these ideas and some of the thinking that I have coming from the outside on the inside? How have you done that?
Even in my early days at BBDO where I met Laura, the brands that broke through became part of culture. In a unique way, not by trying to force themselves in saying like, hey, I want to be in music, but on a ground level, trying to help build something new. And when you're not the elephant in the room saying like, yeah, I'm here with the cool kids, it's more of like, hey, how do we help you? I remember Bacardi, you know, 4 or 5 years ago was getting into the music space and they were always around, how do I provide and create culture for emerging artists? And even, you know, artists themselves from a visual perspective, right? Like they were allowing them opportunities to grow their personal brand. And yeah, you know, it became an experience that you would be a part of. But I think ultimately, if you were to ask one of the musicians or artists, say, "Is this helpful?" Like, it can make a career, right? Mm-hmm. I think right. To create culture and to be a part of subcultures and communities means not trying to, you know, barge through the front door, but hanging out and like learning, right? Like, stop talking and just listen. And you'll figure out something really cool to do together.
Yeah.
You touched on something that's really important about like solving a need or providing access or a platform. Like, you look at what Bacardi's done and then their partnership with Swizz and like mm-hmm. the Dean Collection or Smirnoff and what they've done for, you know, women and trans women in music and specifically leaning in on that, right? Yeah. Like not trying to be everything for everyone in music or chasing an EDM trend, but it's like who's not getting shown any love? Who deserves, you know, some a corporate stamp or to do a show for us in a brand? So it makes a lot of sense, as you just said.
You guys are really young. I worked with you at GE, and you had some of the best, bravest, and loudest without screaming voices. How do you come to the table with a client like a GE or a Bacardi or right, and be the young person in the room, man or woman? Like, what do you do to get those ideas across?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think from my experience, I was fortunate to be put in a room, you know, with the bigger folks in the creative department and the account management teams, and they looked at me and I was like the young millennial in the room, and they were trying to solve big problems of how big brands maintain relevance and create community within, you know, a younger demo. And I just talked about my experience. And I never overthought, you know, what I was saying. I really was just like, "Hey guys, like, this is what's happening today." Everything was from my phone, my world, like projected out on the walls mm-hmm. and on the screens. And at the end of the day, it helped evolve creative work. It helped unique partnerships, and I was super grateful and fortunate to be in those positions. But ultimately, it was me. Mm. I didn't try to be anyone I wasn't.
Like your brand.
Yeah.
I think that it came up a couple of times with the idea of authenticity, and then that's when people actually listen to you and care what you have to say. If you're trying to fake the funk or pull inside out of the sky, and I think, you know, when people hear that in your voice, right? If you're talking about something you know about and not speaking about things you don't know about, asking good questions. When you ask those questions, people realize you're coming to the table, you know, with some sort of equity. You're not just trying to show out and be the loudest or smartest person in the room, but just actually adding value.
What would your advice be to the C-suite listening to this conversation within agency world, within brand, within
media,
publishers?
Just yeah, exactly.
Our industry at large, what would you say now that you're on the outside of it, that you think you could kind of give as a feedback loop to help advance or progress what's currently going on for people your age in the agency right now?
And also getting those ideas out. Because dude, like, how many leaders sit and say, "I want these ideas, I want these ideas." Either they're sitting at the middle layer, right, of your organization and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
Or you've selected some like weird advisory group and made them think only in a certain way.
On a brief.
Mm-hmm. On a brief. Yeah.
I think outside of the brief and outside of the process, you have to enable, you know, the young kids in the agency to go outside of their daily job. Like, it's funny, when I was at BBDO, I wanted to do everything but my job. I wanted to make weird partnerships happen and pushing ideas that weren't, you know, traditional. And when you attract yourself towards someone in the agency who's in a different position. I know mentorship platforms and programs are in a lot of agencies, but a lot of the times people naturally, you know, link up with someone. And I was fortunate to have a mentor in Simon Bond, who was the CMO at the time. And, you know, he brought me along on projects that were, you know, not the normal. But I think if big time leaders in those agencies have more of an open door, not that, you know, the junior strategist is knocking on the door every 20 minutes, because that's not going to get anything done. But, you know, they don't feel, you know, put aside if they had a great idea. You know, you have to enable every idea. I remember I was at Live Nation and I had a thought for, how Ticketmaster and Live Nation could sell each individual seat that goes unsold every night. Mm. And I was maniacal about this idea. I was like, well, there's 5,000 seats in every arena that goes unsold every night. Like, we can, Live Nation could sell those, and they could actually give them away to charity. I came up with a whole platform, and at the end of the day, like, you have to be enabled to thrive in any environment.
Did they buy that?
Long story short, no. They actually integrated a new tech into their website that minimized the risk of individual seats being created. Mm. But every venue is so different, and the seating arrangements and how people are buying, that it's inevitable. Mm. I actually pitched it to a brand, and I reskinned it into what I thought was an incredible idea. It was so cool. we could talk about that offline over tequila or something. But
we like
because
that.
The fee has gone up, right?
So yeah. No. We pitched it to a booze brand, and they loved it. We actually had their head of PR say, like, this is the ideas that we're looking for. She like slammed her hands on the table. She was like, this is fantastic.
There you go.
And it worked really well with their new campaign. But at the end of the day, you know, I remember leaving the room and someone on the team said, that's 90% impossible to do. And I said, well, that's still means 10%. It's 10% possible.
Is it like giving your kid a yes day? Have you heard of this? Yes. Parents now are giving their kids yes days where
sounds
they
fantastic.
Literally don't say no to anything. My daughter... My husband and I would be like sitting on the roof or something if we had a yes day. It'd be like terrifying. But like, is this like giving your employees a yes day? Like, is this giving your middle management like a, you know what I mean? Like, let them go fucking do the moonshot, even if it's not going to work, as long as it's logical, as long as it has purpose, as long as they're passionate. Like, does that hurt?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it definitely opens the door to say, hey, we believe in your thinking.
Yeah.
Because it's very easy to get discouraged as a junior or a young person in the agency because, hey, like, that's the cycle. Like, you're there for a specific role that, you know, you're not at the level and the experience and the expertise to walk in the door and smash the meeting.
That's right. Right.
Yeah. But if the right people are continually saying, like, yeah,
I like the way you think. Yeah. Yeah.
My grandmother has this line, you're welcome every time, just not any time. And I think there's something really interesting about sort of the strategic use case, like bring these ideas forward, but make sure that we're helping as seasoned veterans in the industry shape those ideas so that they can get across the table.
Yeah. Yes.
But don't, like, the yes day should be every day, as far as I'm
concerned.
The yes day
should
industry,
be every day.
This
yeah.
industry needs a lot more yes days.
Yes, I agree. Should be every day.
Tong, what do you think?
I think the magical thing that happened at the Spoon is that that Discovery Fund that was happening, right?
Culture Fund.
Yeah. Most people talk about stuff like that and don't actually let it happen. But to what you said is stepping away from your day-to-day. I think every review I've ever had since I started working is like, he's great, but he always wants to do this other stuff. And it's like now.
I think that's a lot of people.
The interesting thing is that positioned as a negative?
Yes.
It is.
Exactly.
And it's like, but now, you know, now you get paid to do the other stuff, right? And it's really interesting. Mm-hmm. But I think the aspect of being able to travel or support, you know, putting your money where your mouth is as a company, an agency, a firm, whatever it is, to let people go explore. Because what you said earlier about if you're passionate, if you're responsible, if you're diligent, you don't hire people that aren't those things, right? So let them go take a trip. Let them
bring your whole self to the
table.
Yeah,
so what is the culture?
And bring back some insight.
I agree. What is the culture fund?
Yeah, so Giant Spoon, the culture fund is this idea that every person in the organization gets a stipend to basically go out and explore the thing that they're passionate about so long as they come back to the table and educate everybody in the agency about what that thing is.
And what do people do? Like,
I used it to go to LA for, it was a great time to actually go because it was the Dwell Design Festival as well as BET Awards weekend, right? And at the time I had my friend Jason Mowat, who has Trap Karaoke, early stages of Trap Karaoke, which is now ridiculous. It's HBO. I presented it, and it was like a very much smaller thing at the time. And now he has an Apple One deal. He has, you know, it's ridiculous.
But when it comes to like exploring new experiences or places or recess, it brings new creative energy without a doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, I get so much inspiration for traveling and seeing new cultures and learning about Trap Karaoke or like Fight Ball or this new underground boxing like
Fight Club.
No, it's kind of like
Fight
Club.
About
it's called
Fight Club.
Yeah.
Rule number one.
Rule number one.
A couple friends over at Map Projects, they just had their first like fight night. It was, it's called Fight Night. You should check it out. And it's like all these amazing new subcultures and experiences that I'm telling you will spark new ideas for big brands.
Well, yeah. I see it. Like when you guys come to the table and you get to bring your whole self, the level of creative energy and ideas that come out of that is tenfold.
It's tenfold.
When you're not structured in a brief, it is amazing the power of what creativity will unlock.
I also think when you are structured in a brief, when you're thinking a certain way, because you're allowed, right? You're allowed and you've allowed yourself to think in that way.
That's a great example.
Right? The other day we were talking to someone, Laura and I were at dinner, and I was like, well, let's be clear. Walls don't exist, right? We've created walls,
right.
And we've created them now in institutions. We've created them in giant holding companies. All of this, I think, goes to the fact that you guys have allowed yourself to think in different ways. And so even if you're given something that's structured, the way you see it is different.
Yeah. What's the quote is like, write drunk, edit sober. And I feel like that's
I love that. That's the name of the title.
That's what I've been searching for all this time.
Bio. Laura Coretti.
That will now actually become my new Instagram bio.
But it makes sense, right? What you're talking about is, you know, having this recess time, having this, you know, kind of parlor room style brainstorm situation, and then you go back and look at a brief and actually come up with structured ideas. So
yeah, I love that.
So just curious, before we play our favorite Kill by DIY with you guys, what is the campaign or ad or brand or something in market right now about our industry that you're like, they
yes.
got it? Like that, that's what there needs to be more of that.
I'm going to just say my own thing. I would say it's the partnership that we did with Spotify around the David Bowie's exhibition
at
the Brooklyn Museum.
It was fucking beautiful.
We did, you know, shout out to Spotify and their creative team. It's ridiculous. But 5 different, you know, MetroCard applications from different phases of Bowie's existence, or his many existences, let's call it. And they were only available at the Broadway Lafayette stop. He lived a couple of blocks away from there. They did an out-of-home takeover for a few weeks prior and then wrapped the whole station in original photography of Bowie from these different eras. And obviously we augmented that with our own paid media, but them as a partner is just ridiculous, you know. And, you know, they got Adweek, we've got Fastco write-ups on it, and it just made sense. Like, people were waiting
online. I saw
online.
It everywhere on
It's on eBay. It was on eBay within hours of being
the MetroCard.
Yeah, the MetroCard's up on eBay. My girlfriend's dad's like, where's my MetroCard? Every day I come over there, he's like, where's my MetroCard? So that lets me know it works.
But you created that link. You created that partnership between the Brooklyn Museum and Spotify, right?
Right. It just made sense.
That's the whole thing, right?
And you
know
how
the
to
magic.
Operate.
The magic is also in the logic.
Right.
Right?
Right.
The magic is in the logic.
Like,
and when it's
simple.
Like,
didn't tell you to do that partnership.
It was like David Bowie, music icon. Where do people listen to music? Like, it's
but, and then how, like, but then how you guys brought it to life together was genius.
And the cultural insight
I said,
of Broadway Lafayette.
Yeah.
My answer, I think, is a little different because I think for the last year and a half, I haven't been looking up at out of homes. I think my world has completely changed. The people I follow on Instagram, it's so funny. I have conversations with girlfriends of mine. They're like, why do you know so much about beauty brands? Like, I follow every beauty brand under the sun because I want oral care to be a beauty category. And I think when I look at what brands are doing an amazing job in building community and culture, like, I'm not looking at out-of-home. Like, maybe once in a blue moon it'll strike me, but I look at what Mariana Hewitt's doing with Summer Friday.
Yeah.
She created a mask that's called the Jet Lag Mask, and it's a face moisturizer, and it's one product in one tube. It's got a cool blue color, and if you check out their Instagram, you see how overnight they created a cult community. I mean, Mariana Hewitt, she's a huge blogger, very influential, and, you know, when it comes to beauty products, she's a absolute, like, she just gets it. But everything they do day in and day out, like, I want to use this product every day. Like, I want to be part of this community. They're like, sure, they epitomize such a specific person. And I think it's every, you know, hustling millennial today. It's like, you're always on the road. Like, jet lag is every day, but I don't really care if I'm jet lagged, because I'm still going to go crush this day.
Yeah.
And, like, they created this whole world that, like, you just want to fall into.
So, kill by DIY. You guys know we do this, right?
Tell me more.
Okay, so what would you kill? It's like kill, fuck, marry.
Mm-hmm.
What would you kill? What
kill
would you buy?
DIY.
What would you do
Are
yourself?
Are you offering up brands?
No.
Nope.
You pick.
You pick. And you cannot use twice.
Let's kill pre-roll ads on YouTube.
Okay, okay. Done.
Wow. All right, what are you killing?
I would kill overspending on direct consumer marketing. Mm. I think I see Away Luggage and I see Raiden, right? Like, both have competitive products. They both market the hell out of their brand, but one has created an incredible community that is taking them above the rest. And I heard that, you know, Away is killing it, and Raiden, despite the facade, might, you know, they're not doing too well financially. So I think there's a facade created around brands that throw money in Subway ads and mm-hmm. and traditional ad at home as like, hey, I'm the new direct consumer brand of XYZ. And, you know, I'm building a brand in that space of direct consumer, but I want to do it organically, and I don't want to overspend on traditional world of marketing as a new brand. So I would kill that.
I love it. Okay.
What are you buying?
What are you buying?
I would buy the organic foods category. I think I see like
the whole thing.
Yeah. I'm gung ho on it all. I see, what's the company that sends you the cans of Daily Harvest. Mm. Like, Daily Harvest has made it so easy to be healthy. And I think it's a beautiful thing. As an entrepreneur or as a young person in the city, like, hustling their way, like, eating healthy is important, you know, right? Like, I think mind, body, soul, everything works together when you feel good. And, like, those brands, I think I look to say, like, hey, they're going to help you as a person. And maybe that gets back to, like, a purpose-driven brand.
Yeah, I'm buying everyone tickets to Rockaway Beach to go do silent retreats.
Hell yes. I'm in 100%.
It's actually pay what you wish, so you know, I don't even have to buy it.
Thanks, Tong. That's a great gift.
What are you doing yourself other than the amazing businesses you're building? Yeah.
This is one of my biggest pet peeves. It's not like a brand or a thing, but traveling, right? TSA pre-check is a great thing. I don't have it.
You're going to do clear?
I have to. But every time I totally forget, and it's a whole pain.
Is there like a watch like rental company thing that's going on? Like, because I like wearing watches, but I don't like buying watches. Like, could I just pay a subscription fee and get a dope watch like every 3 weeks?
I would put money that exists.
Yeah, right.
I haven't seen it, and that's something
if it's
I
not,
I'd
do it myself.
It's actually
we should do
great.
One between friends. You could share
yeah,
each other's
watches.
Yeah,
it's just like rotate them around.
I think we just created
Let's
something.
Let's create something.
All right, cut that one.
I love it. That's perfect.
Guys, if people want to talk to you, get inspiration from you, how can they get in touch with you?
Cody@smiletwice.com is my email. I'm also Levici on Instagram, LEVICII.
Oh, man, rest That's, in peace.
You'll see the best overalls at Burning Man by far.
That's what I wanted to use my culture fund on, by the way.
Burning overalls?
Man. That didn't
no.
work.
Burning Man?
Overalls.
Overalls?
Burning Man.
Burning Man.
You can find me at Mikey718_ or The Culture LP.
And
all things.
What's the text number for?
The text number is 347-690-7677.
So you want to get down with cool things that are happening
yeah.
that you don't know
get
about.
Cultured.
Text.
Yeah.
In Brooklyn.
In New York.
In New York.
Oh, in New York.
Yeah.
Okay.
In New York.
I mean, a lot of them are in Brooklyn because Brooklyn's where cool stuff happens, but yeah.
As somebody who's from Jersey, I beg to differ. So,
Cody
guys.
Levine, we love you. Mike Tong, we love you.
Love
thank you
more.
For coming
in. Thank you so
in.
Much. Happy Memorial Day, everyone.
Yeah.
Jersey short time.
Those guys.
I mean, the energy is insane. I just love what they're doing, the kind of risk that they've gone out to live their true selves and chase their passions and turn it into their purpose. And it's unbelievable.
One of the things that when we were talking about having these guys on, we were like, who represents everyone that can go out and do this? Right? You are special. These guys are special. But like, also, there are millions Mike Tongs and Cody Levines out there who are sitting at their desk going, I want to work on everything
but this. Yeah.
Right?
I thought that line was great.
I thought it was so good. So big inspiration and big inspiration for us.
Because we're definitely not under 30 anymore. Big thanks to our friends and family at Panoply.
Andy Bowers.
Matt Turk.
And Jacob Weisberg.
We'll be back in 2 weeks. Happy summer, everyone. Disclosure, our opinions are our own.